you know me, love big lines.
I've come to the conclusion Dan loves Young Jock. He loves Young Jock.
Anthony, I just play this. I just play whatever gets scheduled, man.
Oh, you don't actually pick it.
I mean, I did before, but now it's just random.
Really? So we have no idea what comes up next.
Well, I mean, I can see it in the timeline.
Wow. I always just envisioned you were over there doing the motorbike dance, you know? That's what I just assumed.
I mean, maybe back in the day, but I would not do that on camera.
You would? You just did it.
I saw.
That's fine. I have no shame. It's no big deal. Welcome back here. Hour number three of X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Kaelin, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Thank you for joining us, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio as well. From Traverse City down to the Glass City GR to the Motor City, we say good morning to you. Hello to all of our friends in the UP as well. Hopefully the weather's treating you okay up there. It looks cold out. It's got that real subtle, like, if you walk outside, you might get frostbite kind of look.
I think it's 30.
That's below freezing.
Yeah, but, I mean, the other day it was like 18 degrees. I mean, we're going to get down there at some point, but 30's not terrible.
30 is not not terrible. Definitely could be worse. I'll take 30 over negative 20 any day of the week. I thought it was interesting that we had some simultaneous Twitter action yesterday. I believe Ryan was tweeting from the show account. I was tweeting from my personal account, DJ Array at Michigan. He said, in the words of Anthony Bellino, and I just said, well, you know, it gets that time of the dinner if you get your whole family together. Somebody's like, oh, well, it's getting late out there, and somebody slaps their knee and says, yep, time to go. You know what I'm saying? Like the international Midwestern, like it's time to leave. That's kind of how I felt at the end of that Lions game. And then we were all tweeting simultaneously. Well, can't believe that just happened. As the Lions fell to the Chicago Bears yesterday, 16-14. You heard Rubes during the update there. He was talking about the talent. And the talent on this team cannot overcome some of the errors that were made I had the word at the tip of my tongue, too. I just had it. Some of the institutional errors, maybe. Not the word I'm looking for either, but the gaffes.
Organizational?
Yeah, the gaffes, organizational and institutional errors made on the sideline. They just don't have enough to be able to overcome that. They have to play a really good game on the field, and they have to have a near perfect game from the guys under the headsets. Because if not, they're in trouble, and that's exactly what happened yesterday in that contest against the Chicago Bears. I mean, they surrendered 317 yards. Through the air. By the way, the pick that was called no interception there in the end zone, which I don't know how. I think it was it Owuwariye who dropped it because he was getting his head ripped off from behind? I'm like, what in the world is that?
Correct. And when that play happened as well, because Owuwariye dropped it on the turf and then the Bears tight end picked it up, because of the blue jersey and the blue end zone, I thought the tight end just picked it right off of Owuwariye's chest, and it was a touchdown. Like, I thought, because it all blended together. But, yeah, looking on replay, like, just full-on grabbing the top of the face mask and ripping the head back.
Yeah, it wasn't even like his face mask. It was like the upper lip of the inside of the helmet he almost grabbed.
I was shocked that nothing was called there. Was that Cole Kmet who was the intended receiver on that play?
Believe so.
Yeah, it might have been. Good play on his part. You know, if you can't catch it, just cheat. They're not going to call it on you anyways. The refs were only busy, you know, working on the blue jerseys when it came down to throwing the penalty flags. I'm not going to be you know, too much of a ref hater, but I mean, there's holding on every play. Was it that egregious?
Jerry Jones.
What?
Jerry Jones after the Cowboys game complained about the 28 flags thrown on Dallas. When it just
five of them all happened on the same play on that game-winning kickoff. I mean, they were right. Just
that, like, the Raiders got called for, I think, 10-plus penalties as well. So it wasn't just one-sided, Jerry. I know you were probably all liquored up by 9 a.m. yesterday. Johnny Walker blew in the suite and just crashed there. But the refs had their flags out. They're like, if you're going to make me work on Thanksgiving, I'm going to work on Thanksgiving.
You're going to earn all of this. 14 flags for 166 yards against the Cowboys. But there were just, I mean, the holding calls. you know, from my vantage point, not really being able to see, you know, on the replay if it's that egregious that you had to call it. I'll have to defer to you two on that. But I mean, when it's happening play after play, consecutive plays, like when's the last time you saw consecutive holdings like that? Like unbelievable. And that was Thanksgiving Day, folks. That was like the Super Bowl, 0-10-1, now winless. And I don't necessarily, looking at the rest of the schedule, we did this before the game, do it after. The Vikings up next. That's a home game on the 5th, on the road against the Broncos, back home against the Cardinals. I mean, you're not going to go to Denver in December and win that football game. I mean, maybe we circle Atlanta just because we believe they're not a good football team, or as we've been talking about, Green Bay shutting guys down at the end of the year if playoff positioning is already, is already decided. Maybe the Packers shut some things down. But if you are, if you're this Lions team, I mean, you only have a handful of games left. You got 6 games left to find a victory. I thought about it, and I don't want to be – it's different to go 0-17 than it is, 0-16-1. And 0-16-1 does feel different than 0-16, right? But at the same time, you don't want to be the team to do it, be the first winless team in a 17-week season. Like, at the end of the day, this isn't the kind of history that you want to make if you are a Detroit Lion fan. All in all, yesterday, Tim Allen was there. So it was a nice little eruption from the crowd when Tim Allen, they showed up.
Was Eminem there?
Dude, that's a good question. I don't think so.
How about Kid Rock? No?
Kid Rock just came out with a new song. Have you seen it?
No, but I did see that Weird Al had to let everybody know that it wasn't him. It was actually Kid Rock.
Well, yeah, Kid Rock's got a new song, and it's all about how basically kids these days all get trophies. It's very, very interesting. It's yeah.
Goodness.
It's
I don't know how many times I have to explain it, people. Your generation gave us the damn trophies. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Yeah, no, the kids never change, just the parents do. So they're like, yeah, all these kids get a trophy. Well, I mean, it's your kids' league. I mean, you're the adult in the room. How about you guys make the proper adjustments, right? You make the proper adjustment. If you win, you get a trophy. If I don't think you need a medal for third or fourth place, so there's only 4 teams in the league. I don't think that's necessary. That's what our league did. Our CYO league was handing out stuff. They were giving kids ribbons for second place and medals for third place and whatnot. It's like, what? How are you going to do that? Then the fourth place team, what do they get? They shouldn't get anything. They're the worst team out of 4 teams. Practice, yo. What are we doing? But, yeah, so Kid Rock's got a new song. It's typical Kid Rock. Everson Griffin has left his home. He's getting some care. He fired a gun in his home. The Vikings defensive end let one fly in his house and then locked himself in the house. He had told police originally that there was an intruder. There was no intruder.
You can't say it like that. Don't say he just let one fly.
He fired a firearm in his house. Like, I don't
you
know,
make it sound like a desk pop. From the other guys.
A desk pop?
Watch the other guys. You'll understand.
Everson Griffin squeezed one off in his own home and then tried to say that there were intruders. There were no intruders. LeBron James is going to, returning from his suspension. He got fans kicked out in Indiana. Allegedly, the Pacers fans were using expletive language. Somebody had told me that they said something about his kids. At the end of the day, grow up, LeBron. We know you're afraid. We know you're afraid of beef stew. We know you don't want any of that action. He said that, Madison Square Garden was one of his favorite places to play. People are making excuses that the NBA, there's one trip to the Garden. You can't suspend him for that game. You can't punch people in the face and get preferential treatment. Like, come on.
Maybe he was dropping that my favorite place to play for his next contract.
Yeah, sure. Whatever, that guy. We'll get into Juwan Howard's comments and Nick Saban's comments. Both of them had really good pressers that I want to get to. Running back Mohamed Ibrahim, by the way, returning to the Minnesota Golden Gophers after his Achilles injury, so he'll be back, and that is good news for him. And we have Mac football today as well. The Pistons are going to be tipping off early today. They have a 3:30 tip, but we do have Maction football today as well. Noon kickoff on ESPNU, Eastern versus Central over on CBS Sports Network. Ohio travels down to Bowling Green to take on the Falcons. Back with more X's and Bros after this here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for your local Meijer. Now everybody knows Meyer is connected to local teams, college teams, high schools, pros, and more throughout the state of Michigan. So what it means is when you're shopping at your local Meyer, you're basically shopping for your local community. And Meyer is proud to partner with Little Leagues, youth sports, high school sports, college sports, and pro sports throughout the state of Michigan. Remember, when you shop Meyer, you're shopping for your local community.
Become a weekend warrior at BetMGM. King of the Weekend is a free-to-play challenge where you can win up to $50,000 for correctly picking the highest-scoring pro football teams during the weekend. Simply log into your account and find the King of the Weekend contest in your promotions section. Then, pick the six teams you think will score the most points for the selected games. $1,000 will go to the top entry each week. And if you guess all six in the right order, the grand prize of $50,000 could be yours. Plus, hundreds of dollars in free bets will be awarded to players who come close to a perfect score. Go to your account and try the King of the Weekend free-to-play game. New to BetMGM? No problem. Download the app today and make weekend football even better. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Michigan only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Now you can follow everything Michigan high school sports 24/7 at MHSAA.com. On Twitter, at MHSAA. On Facebook, MHSAA. And you can watch archive sports and live sports in season for boys and girls all across Michigan, all schools, at MHSAA.tv. But stay up to date on everything Michigan high school sports at MHSAA.com.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Hey, good luck to all the kids that are headed to Ford Field. Today is the evens. Tomorrow will be the odds. We're going to kick things off inside Ford Field, Division 8, Hudson versus Beale City at 10 a.m. At 1 p.m. in Division 2, Warren Day LaSalle against Traverse City Central, Terry Festival. 4:30 in Division 6, Lansing Catholic against Warren Michigan Collegiate. And then 7:30 tonight, D4, Chelsea against Hudsonville Unity Christian. We got some words from the coach, Nick Saban, but I heard we got another coach on the phone calling into the program. It's the coach, Kyle Barlow. Wow. Who would have thought? Oh, one more trap horn. Audience is going crazy. Give one more horn, Dan. Coach Barlow, good morning to you. Happy Friday.
Good morning. Hey, come on, man. Like, what is going on with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman? Like, can they just lay off? Like, man, I'm canceling them in my household. I don't know how the rest of Detroit feels. I don't know if you heard the broadcast. You might have been at the game.
I did
not. It was unreal, man.
Was it that bad?
Oh, man. Like, it's like I don't have a little brother, but I feel like it's kind of you're protective over your little brother. I'm not doing a Michigan State bit, but it's like the Lions are our lovable losers, okay? They're our losers. We can make fun of them a little bit, but when Troy Aikman and Joe Buck are on national TV, the fourth most watched game of the entire year, fourth most watched football team, as it was last year, I'm assuming it's going to be the same. Like, don't make fun of our Lions. Don't talk about how bad this game is. That really, I want to know if it was just me or did the rest of Detroit pick up on that too?
That's a good question. Dan, Ryan, were you guys listening to the broadcast from Fox at all with Joe Buck? Did you get that same impression that he and his partner Troy Aikman and, you know, maybe Tom Rinaldi and Aaron Andrews all piling on, getting in on the action to make fun of us in the Motor City?
Piling on? I don't know, but it was mostly Joe Buck. Put it on anybody else other than Joe Buck. And I thought it was very lighthearted. I didn't think it was, like, mean exactly. It was just a little, those little things.
Yeah,
Dan.
They got their jabs in.
Dan, we need to send an email. We need to get a call into Joe Buck to see if we can get him on the show to explain himself.
Yeah,
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, it's like they're talking about the whole time how bad the game is. You know what? You know what, Joe Buck? It's Thanksgiving. Be thankful you got the noon game so you can get the heck out of there afterwards. Like, I'm sure you did too, Bolito. Like, you got the 12:30 game. Be thankful for that you weren't doing the 8 p.m. game. So, you know what? Maybe it's a bad game, Joe, but be thankful, man. It's Thanksgiving after all.
Yeah, way better. Way better to be the early game than the late one or the midday game. Like, the 12:30 kickoff time is fantastic because by the time you get home, then you can have dinner and it's over. It's not like you got to worry about eating and then going to work. You know what I'm saying? And if it's a 4:30 kick, I mean, everybody who worked that game was probably there by like 10 a.m. Screws up your whole day. It's awful.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But, yeah, I just wanted to complain about Joe Buck a little. I know he's had his fair share of criticism in the past, but it's like, come on, man. Like, is it bad enough that we have to watch this team and, you know, and we love them. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I was watching. I was glued to the TV. But it's like, do we need Joe Buck piling on? And maybe like Dan said, maybe it wasn't piling on, but, you know, piling on in terms of jabbing while we're losing this season too. You know, just not what I like.
Not what you like. I got something you will like, though. Did you hear Nick Saban's one of his rant from his coach's show?
I did not.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, you stay tuned in because the Coach Saban's joining us next, man. As always, Coach Barlow. I appreciate the call. Who do you guys got weekend, by the way?
We got Concordia today, man. Concordia today.
Concordia, that's right.
Yes, well, sir.
Good luck with Concordia, man, and have a great weekend. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the missus. And, yeah, we'll touch base next week.
Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
See you.
Stay dialed in for this, though, because Nick Saban – He had some thoughts on the fans, and he's not happy. And the fans are unaware that he's talking to literally the people in the room with him.
I think, you know, people don't really – rat poison is rat poison, and the media is always going to create it. But the reality of the world is not what you read on the Internet. It's not what somebody thinks. It's not what somebody's opinion is. It's not what the line is on the game. And it's certainly – the biggest one is every time a team – loses two games, everybody says that team's like done. And it's really just the opposite. Like Texas A&M lost two games before we played. I said it's a dangerous team, because these guys have pride in performance. They want to have a good team. They've had two disappointing losses. That makes them dangerous. They're humiliated by what's happened the last two games. Same thing when we played LSU. Everybody says, oh, they lost two games in a row. They're not any good anymore. We're just going to blow them out. It's just the opposite. It's just the opposite of that. They're competitors. They have moms and dads. They have pride in performance. They have things that they want to accomplish and they want to do, and they want to be good. They don't just throw in the towel. They work harder to try to get better, and everybody wants to beat us. So we're going to get everybody's best game, and I don't know why people can't understand that. But you could say it's not fair to our players that they get everybody's best game, but they do. And they have to be able to compete through that and play over that. And, you know, it's I don't know. I mean, when I came here, everybody was happy to win a game. Now we're not happy to win a game anymore. We're not happy to win a game at all. We think we should win games by whatever. And I don't think that's fair to the players either. Because our players work their butt off to be the best that they can be. And to get criticized for what they work hard for to do so that you can be entertained, so that you can enjoy and have pride and passion for what they accomplish and what they do. And they're not perfect. They're just college students. They're going to they go to school every day. They got to study. They have to run extra after practice when they miss study hall. I mean, come on. Give me a break. This is not professional football. These guys aren't getting paid to play here. They're representing you all. You should be proud and happy to support them and appreciate what they do and have some gratitude. And you know what else? Nobody wants to win worse than they do. Not me, not you. I don't care what kind of fan you are. Nobody wants to win more than the players that play. Nobody.
That was magnificently said.
And nobody feels worse than they do when they lose.
Yep.
Nobody. So for all you self-absorbed folks out there that can't look past your own self, to appreciate what other people are doing.
The look of disgust in his face at the end, because he's talking about all the people there that are hooting and hollering in the background. And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. Of course he is. He's Nick Saban, for God's sakes. But I think that that was a really important message going into tomorrow's game. The game. Michigan versus Ohio State. Even Penn State versus Michigan State, right? Every game that's going to be played, it's rivalry week. And there's nobody that is working harder to win these football games than the young men that are going to take the field on Saturday, right? It doesn't matter if it's Georgia, Georgia Tech, Texas Tech, Baylor, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Oregon, Oregon State, Alabama, Auburn, Wisconsin, Minnesota, you know, whatever the matchup is, South Carolina versus Clemson, like their rivalry games, they're all important to all of these kids. Ole Miss, Mississippi State last night, Ole Miss wins 31-21. Nobody wants to win more than the young men that are taking the field, right? Nobody's working harder than they are and those coaching staffs. And regardless of the outcome, one of those schools from each one of the matchups, one of those teams is going to walk away feeling a great sense of accomplishment, right? They're going to feel very proud. The other one is going to feel a disappointment that you cannot personally understand. You might be disappointed as a fan, right? But you weren't there in March running outside in the snow, right? You weren't there, you know, doing stadium stairs in June at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. Like, you just weren't doing it. And so no matter what the outcome is of your game, whether you're Michigan State hosting Penn State or Michigan hosting Ohio State, nobody wants to win more than those guys out there. I think that's important to remember, right? They care. They want it bad. All of them do. We'll step aside. We'll be back with more X's and Bros. Jim Brandstetter is going to call his final home game at the University of Michigan tomorrow. We'll talk to Brandy Mann next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.